Pumpkins. So this week, I don't know. When are pumpkins actually picked? Is it like when they're ripe? But I saw all the, like, you just see pumpkins everywhere now. I mean, obviously it's fall, but pumpkins, they're picked when they're ripe. When do pumpkins ripen? August, September? And then we pull them and we have them for October. Okay, so what do you call a pumpkin that plays football? A jock-o'-lantern. Okay. That was for you, Gavin, the pumpkin that plays football. What do you call a fat jack-o'-lantern? A plumpkin. Okay. And what did the baker say to the pumpkin? I only have pies for you.
So when
I started thinking about pumpkin pies, it's my all-time favorite pie, right? And when I was a kid, like Thanksgiving, we always had the pumpkin pie, and I just remember I'd scoop out all the pumpkin pie, and then you'd fill it up with the whipped cream, you know, and then you'd have always go through that. So, but you realize like the pumpkins were actually part of the North America, so they weren't imported; they're native to North America pumpkins. So actually, when all the settlers came, they were sending pumpkins back to Europe, and so that's kind of where pumpkins always originated here. And the Indians would show the settlers, hey, these are all the good things and qualities about a pumpkin. And they actually did, like, have you ever studied, like, the first pumpkin pie? So I just started thinking about pumpkin pie. So what they actually did was, so the first pumpkin pie that they think the settlers made, they think they would make a bunch of milk and honey and spices. That's the reason pumpkin spice, right? They would take the milk, the honey, and they'd mix this blend up with the spices, and they'd take the stuff out of the pumpkin, and they would mix it all together, and they'd put it back in the shell of the pumpkin, and then they would take the pumpkin and put it in the coals. You know, have you ever put something in the coals and cook it over? So they'd take this whole thing and stick it in the coals and let it cook, and then it, you know, would cook down and smash down, and that was what they believed to think that that was the first pumpkin pie. That's what, how they think they made them. Pumpkin soup or a pumpkin gooey mess of some sort, right? Yeah, right. So that's what they think. So I know you love these jokes, and I know you're probably thinking they're very gourd pie jokes. So that's my jokes for this morning. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the sun being out. Thank you for a great weekend. Thank you for just time that people can be outside and just enjoying the weather. Lord, we pray for all the people once again that are going down south to help the people that have been devastated. And Lord, we also think of the devastation that's going in many places throughout the world, in Ukraine, in Russia, and Israel, and the Gaza, and all those areas, Lord, that we don't hear about as regularly as we hear about of our southern country. And Lord, we pray for these people, as so many people have been displaced, and so many people, I'm sure, Lord, are crying out to you with their heart, and as they are going through these devastating times in their life, and everything's kind of just up in the upheaval, Lord. We pray that you'll hear them, and we pray that, Lord, people will come beside them. Send people out that will touch them, that they can see, that the people can see your goodness and your presence through people that are touching them, Lord. We pray for them. We thank you for the workers that are going out, and we ask for their safety. And you know, we pray. Amen. All right, so remember we said we're taking this journey. As we looked at Ephesians and we talked about the might of God's power, God's mighty power, that we're supposed to put this armor on, we stepped back and started to look at the power of God, and we looked at the power of God last week in His voice, and today we're looking at the power of God in His presence. And when I stepped back to look at the power of God in His presence, this was a hard week to try to get information, because the verse that I wanted to pull out, it's kind of, remember I said before, I have a hard time when the Bible says something, hey, this is how it is, and it's kind of like right there, and that's it. Like, I could end this sermon really in like 2 minutes and be done, and we could all go home. That's how easy the power of God's presence, it comes down to, actually, Exodus 33, and I'm just going to read this, because it comes down to this, but then we're going to expand on it. Exodus 33, verse 20, it says, "But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live.'" The power of God's presence. When he told Moses, no one can see me and live. End of sermon. I mean, the power in God's presence, as I've stepped back and looked and tried to understand the power of God. So God tells us, as I said before, we're finding out and understanding the power of God through His Word. And He says, no one can see me. My power is so great that if you see me, you cannot live. That's pretty immense power. You know, you start looking at, when we talked, I was looking at like nuclear and other stuff, fusion and radiation and all this stuff. But the power of God is so intense and so vast and so big, from the God of everlasting to everlasting, and in His presence, it would just destroy us. We're His creation. We still can't see God face to face, or we would be destroyed. So let's kind of pull this back and look at it, because we see that Moses, and we looked at, and I want to kind of look at Moses, when Moses' first time that he stepped out, he's in the desert, and he sees what? He sees the burning bush. And Moses all of a sudden says, what's that all about? And so we go to Exodus. We're going to jump back to Exodus 3. We're going to be in Exodus 33, 14 through 23, pretty much all day. But Exodus 3 is the story here of Moses. Exodus 3, 1 through 6. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Medina, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the Mount of God, the mountain of God, where the angel of the Lord, so this is the angel of the Lord, appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire. It did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Moses' first interaction that we know of Moses talking to God, that this, like, he was afraid, he hid his face. And at this point, at this time, up until this time, we didn't even know that, we weren't told until later that you could not see God or you will die. So Moses comes to this spot, and he's in the presence of God. And God tells him, take off your sandals. But he doesn't see God. He sees the flame. He sees a flame, because as we look at the Old Testament, you find out about God in the Old Testament, is God is always seen as in a fire and a flame and a clouds and storms and these powerful energy sources or some miraculous event that God is doing, and that's where you see God in the Old Testament. A lot of times, mostly in the storms and the clouds, and that's where God shows himself, and that's how he showed himself to Moses here, and Moses hid his face. So Moses' first presence with the power of God was in this bush. Now we go over to Exodus 33, because that kind of sets the standpoint of Moses' beginning of being in the presence of God. And then we know what of Moses. Moses spends a good deal of his time in Genesis in the presence of God. And when he was in that presence, these things that had taken place, and I wanted to look at that power. So we're going to be Exodus 33, starting in verse 15. Actually, we're going to start in verse 14. Actually, we're going to start in verse 12. We'll just go all the way to 12. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." My presence will go with you. God's presence, which we know God's all around us and God is everywhere, but he's giving his presence to go specifically with Moses. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." When I read this, I'm kind of like, this is Moses, a man. He's been in the presence of God, and he has this relationship now. Like, so he feels comfortable talking with God. He's been in his presence. From chapters before we see, I'm not sure how many years or days or months or however long that was, but he was in God's presence. And then we see him here, like, I would be like, so he, first he was scared and he hit his face. And now he's like asking God these questions. So obviously he's not as scared. He's not hiding. But now he's asking God for help and with his presence. But in verse 18, then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." It's kind of like he's putting this demand out. It sounds like that, but he really wasn't. But it sounds like Moses just wanted to see his glory because he has been in his presence. He asked for his presence. He knows that only by his presence will they be recognized, because they're like everybody else in the world unless they have God's presence. And Moses said, "Now show me your glory," which I thought was pretty bold. Verse 19, and the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, God said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not ever be seen. Power in the presence of God. How many times when you read that and we talk about what this time looked like, and we talked about the God from everlasting to everlasting and that power that he has and how he spoke the creation of the world and from his voice, the power in his voice. And we know from the beginning that God hovered over the, and actually, so God hovered over the waters in the beginning, right? And this past week I discovered that actually God was a surfer because he hovered over the water. And then actually in some of the text in King James, it says, talked about wax. So I'm like, hey, wax, you wax a surfboard and God was hovering over the water. So maybe God likes to surf. I'm just saying that, just a thought I had, right? Not being blasphemous, but God created all that. So, but God's presence was so great that we cannot see him or we're going to die. So God said, listen, Moses, I'm pleased with you. I like how this has been. I like your heart. I like how I see what you're doing. So God knows who Moses is, and Moses and his spirit and his heart is pleasing to God, and God said he's pleased with them. And God, as far as I know then, I'm not sure in scripture doesn't say who else has seen God in this manner, right? We don't see any other time. But God said, okay, this is what I'm going to do, not just for Moses, but for all the people of Israel, so that they know God's presence, the power of God's presence, that they can see his glory. So God goes past Moses. How does that look? Did you ever watch the show Lost? You remember that show? It was a TV show years ago called Lost, and there was this cloud, this fog that was like came out of the mountains and went on. So it was like, was the Spirit of God that came out in his presence, came out of the storms and the clouds, and did he pass by? And was it a big spirit hand? I mean, do you see what, like, I was trying to understand this week, because to try to understand this terminology, what I'm reading here, and to put it into my mind of the power of God, that God passes by Moses. He didn't walk by. Did he walk by? Because God is God, and it's this immense power. So how did that look? But he passed by Moses, put his hand up so he couldn't see him. And then once he passed, allowed Moses to see the back of him. And out of that seeing the back of him, what happened to Moses? Do we know what happened to Moses? Do you remember what happens to Moses when he comes off the mountain? That's the next part of this immense power in the presence of God. So when he came off the mountain, after this took place, Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, and he said he didn't eat or drink. So in the presence of God, now remember, 40 days, we know about eating, but 40 days without drinking, you're done. You're dead. 4 days, I think we can go without drinking. So 40 days, the Bible says, Moses was in the presence of God and didn't eat or drink. So he was sustained all by God while he was on Mount Sinai in the cloud speaking with God. And that's when God gave the Ten Commandments again to Moses that was written in stone. During this time that this was taking place on Mount Sinai. Then we jump over chapter 34. We're going to jump at verse 5. Then the Lord came down to the cloud and stood with, because this is what God said he would do. Then the Lord came down in the cloud. Once again, God was in the cloud and stood there with him, with Moses, and proclaimed his name, the Lord, and he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and the children for, and the children, their children, for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. So we see that once they made this plan, that God in the presence, Moses in the presence of God, the plan was fulfilled. This all took place. God came through, put his hand up, and now all of a sudden, this has taken place. And then what happens to Moses? What happens to Moses as we see this? Exodus 34, 29 and 29 through 38. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he spoke with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. God's power, so intense, so immense, that when Moses met with God on Mount Sinai, just from the presence of looking at, just from the presence, but then also just looking at God from the back, gave this glow. God's presence is so enormous, so powerful, and then yet here we are today. And how many times do we forget of this power, of this presence? And we'll get into the presence of how then through Jesus next week, but the power of God's, this super intense power that is our God, that we serve, that makes a man's face from being in his presence radiate. It's kind of like when you're in the sun, right? So you go and you lay in the sun. What happens when you're in the sun? You get burnt. You get a tan. Some people lacquer up with, you know, their gear. So they get a nice tan going. So when you're in the sun, you're in the presence of the sun, you get a tan. I know, John, I heard you talk about welding this morning. So, well, you can actually get a tan from welding. I don't know if you know that. I'm sure you know that, John. But there's guys that weld, and they cover themselves all up because what happens? The immense heat from welding, when you look, you have to wear the glasses and the goggles or the hood or however that works. You know, you wear all that. And when you weld, it's super bright. There's a lot of UV light and all this stuff taking place with that heat, and it throws off this immense light that can give welders a tan. And they say you don't want to tan too much by welding because it also can cause a lot of cancer, skin cancer and stuff from the UV light that's coming off of there. You can't look at it with your eyes because it's so bright. You can lose your vision. That's from welding. Well, as a kid, I see it all the time with kids right now. Like my kid, well, when my kids were little, or Justin, when Oliver will be doing this, I'm sure at some point, you get the fire going. You know, all the kids do it. You get a big fire going in the backyard. You put your stick in there, and they get the tip all, you know, the tip of the stick all hot, and they're like throwing it around. I was yelling at the kids, "If you're gonna burn something, you know." And We have burn marks all over. Our trampoline in the back has holes all in it from ashes and everything else. But so it's that glow, that radiant glow you see with the blacksmith. Blacksmith, what do? We were at not Weaver's Orchard, but we were at the Hay Creek Apple Festival, right? So Hay Creek, they always have the blacksmiths and all the stuff. So you go to the blacksmith, and what do to get the iron hot? They put it in the fire, and they push on the bellow, right? They push it on, and it forces the air into the flame to get it really, really hot, to get that piece of iron, which is very strong, and they pull it out, and then what? It's glowing red. It's radiant. It's this radiant glow from this iron, and that's what was taking place here with Moses. Moses was in the presence of God in such an intense time that when he left the presence of God, his face was glowing. His face was radiant by just being in the presence of God. Just in the presence of God. When I was thinking about this, and I really like to think, okay, how does this apply? This happened in the beginning of time, right? Happened in Genesis. Well, close to the beginning of time. So how does this apply to me now? Like, that's the thing. So we know God, right? We know God loves us. We know God's creator of the world. We know that God has immense power. How does this apply to me now today? How does this apply to everybody in 2024? Is God coming in the clouds? Do we see God coming in Mount Sinai in a cloud? And it's these storms. And actually, so, and even in Job, let's go, and I'll read this real quick. Job, and I always loved Job, and I was going to get into this the other week, but we didn't have time. Job 38 through 42 talks about all the times and everything about what God created, and where he talks about, have you seen where I keep the snow? Like, he questions Job. And this is what he said in verse, chapter 38, verse 1. The Lord answered Job out of the storm. That's how he answered in the Old Testament. Clouds, storms, this natural power source, and that's where you saw the presence of God. Now we are in 2024. How does this affect us today? We look at people and people say, I don't believe in God. God's a thing of the past. God does not exist. What's he done for me today? What's he done for me? What's he done? Like, we hear that a lot. What's God done for me? Look at all the devastation that's happened throughout the world. In the southern part of our state and in other countries in the world. Look at all this devastation. Where's God? There's no God today. That's what people think. So how does this look for us? I started to think about this, you know, in Exodus 33, when God came, in verse 18. Sorry, it's not verse 18. Should be verse 18. The Lord said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my... Verse 19, sorry. I just had to... Too small for me to read. How does this benefit us today? Kind of the same thing that benefited Moses right here in verse 19. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. God didn't say, Moses, I'm going to come before you in all my wrath. I'm going to come before you in all my power and energy. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I'm going to come to you out of just this immense glory. Like, that's part of it, right? But he comes to him and says this specific thing in verse 19. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness my goodness. When what God tells us today and what people forget today is that God's goodness has been passed in front of us. Just like God's goodness was passed in front of Moses. Now we also know the aspect of God's goodness with everything, but we're just specifically looking at that goodness. God's goodness passed in front of Moses. God didn't need to show Moses all the everything. He just needed to show him his goodness. Today, with Christ, Jesus, the manifestation of goodness for our sins, that covering of sin through Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about this next week, and that's the power in Christ. But the power of his presence, he came about and showed him his goodness. Not all the other things of his power. We hear about his power in creation, right? We hear about, but he showed him his goodness. And out of his goodness, what happens when out of that goodness that he was radiant, he was glowing, not for the full presence of God, but just by his goodness. That was it. God's goodness has passed in here for us. Right? I mean, it really has. In the form of Jesus Christ, the God in man form that they could see, Jesus isn't with us anymore, I mean, other than in spirit, but the disciples and the apostles at the time could see God face to face and not die. Because it was God in the human form. God's full presence. We can't see, or we're dead. How's that look at the end of time? I'm running out of time, but how's that look at the end of time? And I wanted to jump through that because we see at the beginning of time of this immense power and this radiant goodness that comes from God. And then in Revelation, at the end of time, we see in chapter 21, in Revelation 22 through 25. I did not see a temple in this, and John was talking about what he saw. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temples. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Going back then to what we just read, where Moses said, show me your glory. Show me your glory. That glory of God then passed by Moses in his goodness. And then we see it all the way going through. And we can pull it out even in Ezekiel talks about God's immense power. But then I'm running out of time. So we get to Revelation, and at the end, when the earth is everything's anew and sin has been wiped from the earth, right? What do we find in the heaven of heavens? I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to give it light, and the Lamb its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor to it. God's goodness, God's power, and his presence is what the last couple of weeks is all I'm trying to show and explain is how much power is in our grasp from our God. That's what we forget. We sit back and we worry about so many things. We sit like in our society, and when people pull their eyes off of who God is, because God passed by for our goodness. He gave the Ten Commandments for our goodness. He put his hand over Moses as he passed by for his goodness as well, so he wouldn't die. God's goodness is wrapped up in all of what he has done for us, for the goodness of us. And then Satan comes in and pulls that deception trick and pulls us away and gets our eyes on something else. God's goodness is here for us to live in him, to walk in him and his goodness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, Lord, I don't even know if I can do this, your power justice in what I say. You're so great. You're so awesome. You are truly immense. And it's hard to even understand and explain your power. At least I find it very difficult to explain how powerful you are. Lord, help us to remember that in our life. Help us to know that what has been given through Scripture is from your goodness. How you want us to live is from your goodness. How you want us to share with others is from your goodness. How you want us to take care of others is from your goodness. Lord, how you want us to give to others and promote the gospel and to speak the truth of the gospel to other peoples for your goodness, from your goodness and to your goodness, from everlasting to everlasting. Lord, help us to remember that there's people all around us that don't know you, that they're lost, that they're stuck in this spiritual trickery, and they don't even see that they have a need for you. Lord, help us to remember that your goodness goes in front of us, that your goodness is there that gives us strength to speak to people of your love. And Lord, help us just to remember and show us your goodness this week. Show us your power and your presence as we spend time with you. Speak to us on how great you are so that we can do and be bold in what we speak on your gospel. I pray for that for this week, Lord. Lord, help us as we leave this place. Help us to love you and honor you. In your name we pray. Amen.